We have been talking about on our Sunday evenings, seems at least once or twice a month, but we have been talking about the millennial kingdom. And when you open your Bible to, and you don't need to do that now, but when you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 20, there are four events that are described in the millennial kingdom. The first two happen at the beginning and the last two happen at the ending. The first two are the binding of Satan, and then the resurrection of the tribulation saints. That's at the beginning. And then the releasing of Satan at the ending, a rebellion that takes place, and then the final judgment. And you look at that and you say, well, that talks about the beginning and the ending. Six times it mentions it's 1,000 years. And you say, but there's so much more to the millennial kingdom. And you say, well, how do I know that there's so much more in the millennial kingdom? And the answer is because of the Old Testament. And I also know, even by Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, where it says that the tribulation saints that have been martyred during the tribulation are raised from the dead, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Whatever is happening today, I can tell you, is that has not happened. We have not seen the resurrection of martyrs. And every century in the history of the church has had an abundance of martyrs. And that goes all the way back to the beginning of the church, all the way back to Pentecost. For 2,000 years, there have been martyrs all the time. And they are still in the grave. So whatever is happening today is not what's happening in Revelation chapter 20, or there would be the resurrection of saints who will reign with Christ. So I look at the Old Testament, and I look and I see 10 things, and there's probably more than that, but I'm just, as I've been reading the Old Testament, been studying this, there are 10 things that also happen during this millennial kingdom. And it includes Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and they lived and they reigned with Christ. That's not in Christ, but it's with Christ. And that is in keeping with Revelation chapter 19, where you have the second coming of the Christ, and Revelation chapter 20, there he is. But the first thing that I would tell you, and the first thing I want to talk about tonight, is one of the promises of the millennial kingdom is the presence of the king. He has to be there. So I want to give you a little bit of an understanding, a greater understanding of this and where you see these things taking place. But the Old Testament speaks of his presence. And there's two things. Let me back up a little bit. With the millennial kingdom, you have all these 10 things, and they're not separate from one another. But with the reigning of the king, you have the restoration of Israel. And this king comes to his kingdom. So let me say just a few things about this restoration again, which we have talked about. But this restoration is the theme of the Old Testament prophets. And that's pretty much where I go when I go to look about finding his presence in that kingdom. But the theme of these prophets is judgment and restoration. And I want you again to turn into Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28 is Moses' last words, his last teaching of the people. And the giving of the law was for a number of purposes. One is for the Lord to specifically reveal morality. There's no statement of like that before you come to Moses giving of the law, but you still have a sense of morality, but it's just the Ten Commandments that say you want to know what is right and what is wrong. Here are the Ten Commandments. These are the things that you're commanded to do. There's also a national aspect, a national covenant that is important to see with reference to the law. And with this national covenant, the Lord said, if you as a nation will be obedient to me, I will bless you. If you are disobedient to me, I will curse you. You say, well, what is the cursing? And he describes that in no uncertain terms. And for the most part, it is, I will drive you out of the land, and you will suffer outside of the land. You will be persecuted outside the land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I encourage you to read this chapter, Moses reminds the people of their responsibility. And he says in verse 1, it says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city. Blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses, in all that you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep his commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of the ground and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless you all the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I have commanded you today, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods and serve them. Clearly he's saying, there is blessing in the land. There's blessing. All these blessings are not necessarily described as spiritual blessings, but they are spiritual blessings if they're promised from the Lord and he gives a command. But these are earthly kinds of things. Your crops will be fine. You'll have many children. You'll be blessed with the offspring of the animals that you own. The enemies come, they will be defeated. Your primary responsibility is to be obedient to the Lord your God. And it's the one thing that people didn't do. We're studying the judges. There were some 16 judges, I think it's 16. And these 16 judges repeated cycles. The people were under a judge. When the judge would rule over them, they were pretty much intact, and then the judge would die. They would disobey God, and God would send oppression. They would be taken over by a nation. That nation would rule. God would raise up another judge, set the people free. They would cry out to him because of the oppression that they were experiencing, but God would always answer with another judge. and the judge would come, there would be a deliverance that would take place, and you go through these cycles. And, you know, if in Sunday school, if I was drawing an outline for the book of Judges, I'd just draw a big circle, just a big circle, only it's kind of a circle that goes down and down and down and down, and you know, because it's every decline makes it worse. But it's just their disobedience. They were never obedient, so they said, well, give us a king. We need some stability. Surely a king will give us some stability. Other nations have kings. We don't have a king that we can walk into the throne room and talk to him. If we walk into the throne room of the temple, we will die. Can we have a king that we can talk to? We can have a king that can talk to us and things will be really well. So they're given a king, and what do? They're not faithful. And they never were faithful. It's like this, the Lord says there's just one thing you have to do to survive and to be blessed of God as a nation. And that is, be obedient, do the law, do what the law commands you to do. And they really didn't do that. Well, if you look at the rest of this chapter, and there's only 14 verses that talk about the blessing, but when you come to verse 15, and all the way to the end of this chapter, it reads like this, and I won't read all the way, but it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, and these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you shall be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the offspring of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed you shall be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew, and it shall pursue you until you perish, and your heavens, which are above your head, shall be bronze, and the earth, which is underneath you, shall be iron. And the Lord will change the rain, of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down upon you till you are destroyed. The Lord will cause your enemies, you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms. Your carcasses shall become food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you." And it goes on and on with these judgments and the things that are taking place. And if you come to the end in verse 58, it says, "If you do not carefully observe the words of this law that are written in the book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues and great prolonged plagues, serious and prolonged sicknesses. He will bring back on you the diseases of Egypt on which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring unto you until you are destroyed. You shall be few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked off the land which you go to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. There you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have resting place, but there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Oh, that it were evening,' and in the evening you should say, 'Oh, that it were morning,' because of the fear which terrifies your heart, because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships by the way in which I said to you, You shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies, male and female slaves, and no one will buy you. Aren't you thankful that you don't have Moses for a preacher? I mean to tell you, this, you read this and this is terrible stuff. He goes on and talks about this covenant that he makes with him, a covenant agreement, sort of a renewed covenant in verse 29. But look at chapter 30 in chapter 29. This covenant the Lord will, that he makes with them. Look at verse 30. Chapter 30, I keep saying verse 30. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which you have set before, that I have set before you, you shall call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And you return to the Lord your God and open and obey his voice according to all I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the furthest parts of under the heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies, on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. And the Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock and the produce of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over to the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land to which you go to possess. But if your hearts turn away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce you to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you crossed over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants, your seed, may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life, and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore the fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them. And Moses went on and spoke all these words to Israel. And he was finishing. This is sort of what he's saying. This is amazing. And when you look at the history of Israel, you know, they went into captivity. They did exactly what these chapters told them not to do. Instead of being faithful to God, they were unfaithful. And so the history of them is that they go into captivity in Assyria in 722, in Babylon in 586 BC, And then again, after Jesus Christ had come, the Romans came and drove them away, out of the land. And where they go, they don't fit in. Where they go, they're persecuted. And there's two stories of persecution, if you want to tell it, in the past 2,000 years. And one is the persecution of Christians, of Protestant Christians, of believers in the gospel message Christians, and persecution of the Jews. That's the story. It's exactly what the Lord said. If you're obedient, I will bless you. If you're disobedient, you'll be driven from the land and you'll be persecuted. And that's the history. But when you come to the prophets, especially Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they warn the people about their disobedience. The theme of the prophets is you are going to be under judgment because you've abandoned your God. You have abandoned him. But God is going to restore you. And that's that. I challenge you to read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and read the number of times where you read judgment, judgments of the nations, judgments of the people who persecute the Lord. There's all kinds of judgment that is mentioned there. And then there's always this, it always turns, and there's this restoration. But God will be faithful to you, not because you are faithful to him, but because he is faithful to his word. And God is going to restore you, is going to regather you. And this whole regathering ultimately is about this millennial kingdom, this kingdom which God is going to establish, because when you look at all the things that are said about this gathering and regathering, you have those 10 things that speak about the millennial kingdom. Now, what's interesting is you may look at this and you say, well, how do we fit into all of this? And I say, well, hang on, because we're getting to Ephesians chapter 3 sometime in a couple of years. We will get there, but we will get to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's a reminder of that we are brought from two to be one. So we're brought into this? Well, we certainly are going to be brought into the blessings. And how are we getting in? Well, that's explained in terms of the new covenant. We are full partakers of new covenant blessings. And we, as new covenant Christians, which Jesus at the cross, he said, I will bring in a new covenant. We'll see that in a moment, but I'll bring in a new covenant. And this new covenant will be the covenant by which you experience this blessing. We as Christians have been brought into the new covenant. Israel has not been brought into the new covenant as of yet. You say, well, they're in the land. I said, they are in the land today. Are they there as an obedient nation? The answer is no. Are they there under the terms of the new covenant? The answer is no. Are they there in the millennial kingdom? No. You look at the things that are taking place in Israel, and it's a struggle for them to survive. And it's a trouble spot, and they've always been a trouble spot since the nation of Israel was established. What's going to happen? Is the kingdom of God about to come? Perhaps. In order for the millennial kingdom, in my understanding of Scripture, that Israel must be a secular nation when the Lord returns. Because the revival and awakening is brought about by the Lord when he comes. But it's also possible that Israel should be driven from the land again. Why? Because they're disobedient to God. They're not there worshiping Jesus Christ. They're not there proclaiming the gospel to the nations. There's a lot of things that talked about in the reference to this millennial kingdom that are just not happening now. So I always, when I read the Old Testament and I read these statements that I've said before, the great question to ask is, when has this happened? I can look and say, when has it happened that the Israel has been driven from the land? I gave you three examples, great examples of that. Assyria, Babylon, and Rome. They've been driven. When have they been persecuted by the nations? Pretty much ever since Babylon. And the rest of their history is of persecution and being under the authority of the nations. So when is this restoration going to take place? Well, let me give you a couple of verses, and I know we've talked about this, but the coming of the Lord is with this restoration that takes place. So turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 31. And I'm not going to read all of Jeremiah 31. I read, this is a great passage on Jesus' promise with reference to the new covenant. But if you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, and in verses 31 and 37, it speaks of the Lord giving these promises. Let me just read part of this. He's talking about restoration. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved them with an everlasting love. Does this love ever fail? That's one of the questions that's asked in Romans chapter 9. Because in Romans chapter 8, the Lord promises to love us with an everlasting love. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Somebody in the back room, back row, raises their hand and says, well, what about Israel? Didn't God promise his everlasting love, loved you with an everlasting love? If God no longer loves them, if he loves us with an everlasting love, will that come to an end? He says in Romans 9, 10, and 11, let me explain to you about what has happened to Israel and God's purpose for them. But he loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. O virgin of Israel, you shall again be adorned with your tambourines. You shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and from the ends of the earth among them, and the blind and the lame, the woman with child, the one who labors with child together, a great throng shall rejoice. They shall come with weeping, with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles far off. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one who is stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young flock and the herd, and their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more. He goes on to speak of this gathering that takes place in Jeremiah 31. And then you look and you see in verse 38, jump to verse 38. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, the days are coming, verse 31, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that he took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. That's the Mosaic covenant, is it not? I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to bind you with a new covenant. And he says, I'll write the law in their hearts and minds, and every man will teach as they not teach, because they'll know. And then he says this in verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day and the ordinance for a moon and stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the city shall be built for the Lord from the tower of Hanael to the corner gate. The surveyor's line shall begin to extend straight forward from the hill Gareb, and it shall turn toward Goath. And the whole valley of dead bodies and ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down anymore forever. I read that and I say, what is the Lord talking about here? It seems that this is this regathering Israel under the terms of a new covenant. That has to be after the cross, because there was no new covenant until Jesus Christ established the new covenant in his blood. When since the cross have these things happened? When has the Lord brought Israel back? I said, well, they're in the land. Yes, they're in the land as a remnant. They're not all there. There's more Jews living in America than there are Jews living in Israel. This is not the gathering and the returning of the people. When has this happened? Let me give you one more. Look at Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, again, and notice that the blessings are not blessings that you find in heaven. They're blessings that you find on the earth. And these blessings are given by God. Ezekiel 36, again, let me read beginning in verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, and remember, I should stop, Ezekiel is in captivity. And he's in captivity, and he hears that Jerusalem has been, this is the 586 destruction of Jerusalem. It's destroyed. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like an uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury upon them for the blood they had shed on the land, for the idols which they had defiled. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. I judged them according to their ways and deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, and it doesn't say, therefore say to the house of Israel, I'm done with you. I'm done. That's it. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord your God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will sanctify my name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations know that I am, until the nations know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I'm hallowed in you before your eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments to do them. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. I will bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds which were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord God, but let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, on the day I cleanse you from your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities and rebuild, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. What ruins? Well, there may be ruins in Israel before this whole story is done. But there's apparently the rebuilding of ruins that is talked about here. Take you from the nations, gather you, bring you into the land, cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall dwell in the land of your fathers. Call for the grain, multiply you. This is the blessing he gives. Not for your sake I do this, but for my name's sake. They build these ruins. They rebuild them. The state of Israel is not in a state of ruins today. So I look at that and I say, that's also kind of interesting to me. So they will say, verse 35, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. The nations which are left around you shall know that I am the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do for them. I will increase the men like a flock offered as holy sacrifices, like the flock of Jerusalem. On the feast days, the ruined cities shall be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. There's another vision that you have, and the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. He talks about the dry bones and the dry bones that live. In verse 11, he said to me, Son of man, this is all the same part of this same conversation that Ezekiel's having with the nation. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Indeed, say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Then he talks about this. Two sticks. He's going to take Israel and Judah and put them back together. And in the chapter that follows here, it says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, verse 38, set your face against Gog and Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophecy, and say, the Lord your God, behold, I'm against you, O God, and Resh. And after many days, the Lord says that he will be with them. But one of the things that, I know we're out of time, but one of the things that the Lord says with reference to his return and the blessing that he gives is that the Lord himself will be with them. Look at verses 38, verses 24 and following. 37 verses 24 and following. David, my servant, we've come a long way to come to this passage. Let me just read this to you from the Lord will be here when this happens. I said this restoration that takes place with the presence of the Lord also in the land. When he speaks of David, my servant, he's speaking of the Lord. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, and their children and their children's children forever, My servant David shall be prince forever. Moreover, I'll make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish with them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My tabernacle shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, scattered Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. So the Lord's dwelling place will be with his people. And one of the things that is so interesting when you look at the whole of Scripture is you have God, and Adam and Eve knowing this in no uncertain terms, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all his. Adam and Eve knew like no one else has known that they were created by God. Adam even got to be a part of the creation of Eve. And when they rebelled against God, God's purpose was to reestablish his authority over his domain. It's his. This is the kingdom in rebellion. God is always the king. He's always been the king. He told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree. That tree is a reminder that though you are stewards over the whole earth, you are king and queen over the whole earth. That tree reminds you that you're not king over me. I am king. I am the king. This is my domain. This is my universe. I'm putting you here. And the people that he put there, Adam and Eve, walked away from God. Everything that was said about Sunday school, about walking away from God, we found to be absolutely true. We find it true as a nation. You find it true as families. You find it true all over the place. You can see, you walk away from God, you walk into darkness. And when they walked away from God, there's a rebellion that started. And that rebellion has been going on and on and on until Jesus Christ is going to come and reestablish his dominion over his creation. And that's why he will be present. I'm going to give you a bunch of other verses in the other prophets that speak of the Lord being present in this domain. It's important for him to be present. He was there when the rebellion took place. He will be there when he reestablishes rightful authority and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the wonderful. This is like paradise lost, paradise restored. The whole of human history is this story. And God saw fit not only to reestablish his dominion, but also to reestablish a people of his dominion. And we are part of that people. Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, he is our King. And when he reestablishes that kingdom, we shall be a part of that kingdom. We're already a part of that kingdom. So this is a great hope. And this is not God going back in reverse and now going to do something with Israel, because we have been brought into the new covenant before Israel was ever brought into it. And when they are brought into it, we shall all rejoice in this being a part of all of the promises all the way back to the very beginning. Jesus brings us in. But there's a story being told in all of human history. And you can look at our world today and I say, well, our world is in a mess. I say, it probably is in a mess, and it may get into be a bigger mess because of all the things that are taking place with all the people around us. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ will stand upon this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is a victory to be won. And it's important to God. He says, for my name's sake, I do this, not for yours. I'm going to reestablish my rightful rule over all that I own and all that I made and all that I love. That's really a wonderful truth. We're a part of that story, and it's wonderful to be a part of that story. But one of the aspects of that millennial kingdom is Jesus will be present there. He will be the king, and rightfully so. Well, there's other things as well. We'll get to them eventually. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are accomplishing your purposes in our world. We're thankful that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful that he represents your absolute authority over all of us. And we're thankful that you receive the glory and you receive the majesty and dominion and authority. We're thankful you're reestablishing all your rightful rule. You are God. You are the King. You are the God who loves and saves and accomplishes your purpose in our midst. And Lord, we pray that you will lead us in the truth and guide us. Open our hearts to see your truth and to know you and to know all that you are accomplishing. And may this world bring glory, not wickedness and evil, but may this world bring glory once again to you and to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Be blessed forever. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Guide us in the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.